started. Today, we just want to welcome back John Hoon, who will be delivering today's message. So, John, welcome.
Thank you, everyone. Good to see you, all of you, again. Would you turn your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 4? We'll be reading from verses 18 through 25. Romans 4, 18 through 25. We have a lot more these things instead of turning Bibles nowadays, so that's okay. So long as you got it, it's okay. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that your promises are yes and amen to us. We thank you, Lord, that that you have good things for us because you are a good God. And this morning, Lord, as we come together to delve into your word once again, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. Although I stand up here and speak, I know, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to each and every one of our hearts. So we commit this time unto you and give you all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So Abraham is known as the father of faith. And as we look through his life this morning, I want to share a message about an essential element of faith, and that is the whole idea of biblical hope. Hope. So I've entitled my message this morning, In Hope. In Hope. You know, Scripture tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So hope and faith, to me, they're inseparable. Some people say that, you know, they're different sides of the same coin. However you want to describe it, you cannot separate hope from faith, and vice versa. So as we look at Abraham's story, I'm using Genesis 12 through 21, those 10 chapters, as a backdrop to today's scripture and message. So let me just give you just a brief background and just a refreshment of those 10 chapters. So in chapter 12 of Genesis, God calls Abraham away from his country, away from his father's household, and he tells him, leave to the country I will show you, and I will bless you, and your name will be great, and those who bless you are going to be blessed, and those who curse you are going to be cursed. And so he was 75 years old when that happens. And throughout those 10 chapters, as you go on, you see the threefold promise that God gave Abraham. And that is the promise of descendants, the promise of land, and the promise of blessing. That God would be with him, that God would watch over him, and that God would bless him. Those threefold blessings is what we call the Abrahamic covenant that God gave to him. And you see that unfold through those chapters. It's not an all-in-ones, but you see that happening, beginning in chapter 12. Chapter 13 talks about the story of Abraham and Lot As Abraham and Sarah left Haran, they took Lot with him, their nephew. And you see them going through and then ultimately separating, Lot going his own way, and then Abraham going his own way. And then chapter 14, we see a story about Abraham and the king of Sodom against having war and defeating some of the other kings. You know, as I say, there's not a good Old Testament story without some warring and some kings, right? So there's a little bit of that in chapter 14. Chapter 15, we see the Lord kind of, again, reinforcing his blessing and his promise to Abraham. And we specifically about the promise of a son that he's going to give him. And, you know, if you can remember, God says, you know, I am your shield, I am your great reward. And Abraham asked the Lord, well, how can this be? I am childless, and the heir to my house will be Eliezer of Damascus. And thus God says, no, from your own body, I will give you a son. Chapter 16, we have the story of Hagar and Ishmael. You know, Sarah was barren at that time, so she gave Hagar to Abraham to be his wife. And so there was an Ishmael that was born to Abraham. Chapter 17 talks about the covenant of circumcision that God gave Abraham. And again, in this chapter also, God now promises, even though he had already a son through Hagar, God tells him, through Sarah, I will give you a son. Again, Sarah at this point was very old. Okay, was very old. Chapter 18, we see the birth of Isaac that was promised. And then chapter 19, we have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And chapter 20, the story about Abimelech and how Abraham had to tell Abimelech that this is my sister, not my wife. And that whole story is in chapter 20. And then in chapter 21, finally, Isaac is born. The promise fulfilled. And so from chapter 12, when he first left Haran, he was 75, until chapter 21, when Isaac was born, he was 100 years old. So that promise happened to take 25 years. Wow. How many of you can wait 25 years for God's promise to be fulfilled? That's a long time. Right? But you know what? If you got to wait, you got to wait. What are you going to do, right? But I think that's also part of God's training to us. God wants to, sometimes he'll, just like he did with Abraham, he'll give us one promise, one word, and then as time goes by and as we're wrestling what that really means and what we're trying to figure out, Lord, how is that promise going to happen? And so forth and so on, then God will continue to reveal something more. God will reveal something more. Same thing with Abraham. Abraham was given just words about leave, I will bless you, and so forth. He went to the land of Canaan, and God gave him another promise. He appeared to him again, and he said, this land will be, I will give to your descendants. Chapter 15, you know, now it's the word about the son coming out. And then later on in chapter 18, the word about a son through Sarah, specifically. So there is a progression of revelation that God gives to us in his promises. Okay, and I think part of God's heart is not just, oh, I got a promise and I'm going to get it tomorrow. It's about taking that word and in faith with hope, knowing that God is true, God is faithful, that God is going to accomplish all that he said. And as we continue to press into that promise and that word, God gives us further revelation, further, more details about what that word really means. Okay, so that I see that happen a lot. When I see people share their testimony, they'll say, oh, God gave me this word 20 years ago. And it's been a long process until finally God's promise was fulfilled. I believe that this pattern is not only for Abraham, but also it applies to our lives. So the first thing I want to say is that there's a difference between hope as we understand it today. We use the word hope with synonymous to wish. For example, I hope the Cowboys win the Super Bowl sometime, right? So it's something that we wish for, something that we want. You know, I hope I get such and such for Christmas. You know, something that we want, but there is no certainty that that will happen, correct? That's our present idea of the meaning of hope. But the biblical idea of hope is very different. The biblical idea of hope is one that has absolute certainty. Hope can be translated as a strong and confident expectation of God's goodness in our life. For example, we believe, the Word tells us that if we believe in Jesus, we shall not perish but have eternal life. How many of us believe that? Y'all believe that? How do we believe that? Are you certain? Absolutely certain, right? That is hope. And even though we don't know exactly how that might happen, we don't really see things, you know, that, none of us have actually eyewitnessed Jesus dying on the cross. But we believe it with certainty that He did and He paid and He died for our sins. And so when we think about hope in the biblical sense, it's about having the kind of assurance that nothing can move. It is not about the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. It is about something much greater. And no matter what we see, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody says, we know it's true. We know it's going to come to pass. So hope is not based on our desires. Biblical hope is based on God's promise. Okay? That's why we can have the certainty, because we know that God is faithful and true, and that His promises are good. Right? So that's why we can have that promise. We can have that hope, that assurance and certainty that God's word will come true, will come to pass. Hope is also based on God's word, and it is not based on our current circumstances. If we look at Abraham in verse 19, it says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and Sarah's womb was also dead. So by this time, Sarah was 90, 91 by the time she had Isaac. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So basically, if he looked at his circumstances, said, I'm 100, my wife is past childbearing. So this circumstance says, there is no hope. There is no hope. So that's why in verse 18, it says, against all hope. Hope in the sense that our circumstances are such that we have no hope. There is no way that Sarah's going to get pregnant. She's too old. Against all of that, Abraham still had. He believed in hope. He still had hope. If we look at only our circumstances, if we only look at the things that we can see with our eyes and we can comprehend with our mind, we take out the whole idea of God being able to do miracles. Right? I mean, you look at, if you were Sarah, and if you were past your childbearing years, and you heard, no matter what, an angel came and gave you this awesome word, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. You know, I'm too old. And I think even as believers, yeah, we believe that Jesus died and we're going to heaven and all of that, and that's great. But sometimes when we see things that are against our circumstances, A word that God gives to us, whether it be through the Bible in our quiet time, whether it be through, you know, one of our brothers and sisters at church, whether it be through a prophetic utterance, through it be through a word or vision. Abraham got some of his words through a vision, a lot of words through his vision, his promise. It says, the Lord appeared to him in a vision. Whichever way, God can use so many different ways to speak to us. Circumstances, but when God gives us a promise and our circumstances are such that, oh no, this is against what you're saying, Lord, or we get a word and our circumstances change and go 100% the other way, 180 degrees the other way, well, what happened to that word, Lord? We have to leave room for God to do his miracles. We have to leave room in our faith, in our heart, in our minds, that you know what, this is what it looks like now, but God spoke to me. This is where we get hope. Hope is rooted in God's word. Hope is rooted in God's promises. It says here in verse 20 that the gods, that Abraham, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Yes, his circumstances, what he wanted was not necessarily what God said, but he did not waver. He says, regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded, verse 21, that God had the power to do what he had promised. And this is where it's at. Do you believe that God has a power to accomplish and to do all that he's promised? Amen? That one day when we die, that we are going to go to heaven. That we'll no longer suffer in this earth, in this body of ours. But we will praise God and we'll worship him forever and ever. God is able. Amen? God is able to do so much more. Now this reminds me of Mary, when she was visited by Gabriel, the angel, and Gabriel told her that she was going to be with child, and she didn't know because she was just, you know, betrothed to be married to Joseph, but she said, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" You know what? It's okay to question. You know, even Abraham questioned. You know, what will you give me, since I remain childless? And then we see the whole promise of God from the angel to Mary. It says, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Whatever that means, right? But her response is this. She says, "May it be to me according to your word." That is hope. It doesn't make human sense. It doesn't make, you know, circumstantial sense. It doesn't make any sense in the human sense. But because you said so, Lord, may it be to me according to your word. This is hope. This is the idea of biblical hope. And Abraham had it. Mary had it. So many of the great, are the saints that we see in the Bible, they had it. And I believe that many of you have it. You have the hope that only God can give, because you believe that God is able to do all that he has promised. When Abraham when Abraham was given his promise, you know, because we call him the father of faith, we always think, oh my goodness, this guy is amazing, right? He never doubts, you know, he even says that he didn't waver in his faith, right? But, you know, as I look through scripture, he wasn't perfect. Abraham wasn't perfect. In Genesis 17, 15, when in the middle of that, the whole circumcision covenant that God gave to Abraham, God tells him that he's going to have a son. He's going to have a son through Sarah. Okay? And it says that Abraham, he fell on his face and laughed. And he said to himself, "How can this be? I am too old." Instead, what he said to God, his reply to God was, "May Ishmael live. May Ishmael be the one who basically receives all the promises that you've been given to me." So Abraham, to me, looks like he's laughing, and he's not laughing because God is funny. To me, Abraham is laughing because of unbelief. That's what it seems like to me. And the next chapter, in chapter 18, Sarah, she's listening when the three angels come. The three men, three angels. Some people think that it's, you know, Jesus came, you know. In any case, when the three angels come and Abraham sets a meal before them, and he promises them, "Next year, at this time next year, I will come back, and Sarah will bear a son to you." And Sarah was listening in the tent in the back while Abraham was hosting the three angelic hosts. And it says that Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become so old, shall I have pleasure in my Lord being old also?" So to me, that laugh wasn't a laugh, again, of something being funny. To me, it was like, pfft. You know, it was a scoff to me. So both Abraham and Sarah were not perfect in their faith. But guess what? Chapter 21 comes. That time comes. They still receive their promise. They still receive their promise. And I want to encourage you this morning that even though, you know, sometimes you may struggle, "Oh yeah, God gave me this word. You know, I feel like God has been speaking something like this to me over and over my whole life. But I don't know if I believe it." You may laugh in your heart. That's not going to happen. You may scoff and say, "No, there's no way that's going to happen." It's okay. It's okay. So long as after you laugh, you come back and say, "Lord, you are able. You are able to do all that you have promised me. All the words that you've given me, all the signs that you've given me, I believe it 100%. It's funny because when Sarah, overheard the angel speaking to Abraham about Sarah bearing a son, she laughed, scoffing in unbelief. In chapter 21, after Isaac is born, and Isaac means he laughs. You guys knew that, right? He laughs. So you shall name him Isaac, because Abraham laughed, and so did Sarah. Okay, they both laughed. So now this is Sarah's response after Isaac is born. This is chapter 21. It says, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised." Turn with me to Genesis 21. Let's read it together. Let's follow along. Genesis 21 verse 1. Okay. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him." Verse 6, "Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" And so Sarah, in chapter 18, she laughs out of unbelief. And now she laughs out of celebration. And I see that I see a gracious God, that even though our faith and our hope and our dependence on Him and our trust in Him may not be perfect, again, it's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon God, because God gave you the word and God is the one that's going to accomplish it. Yes, I suppose there is that notion that we can derail our destiny because we fall into sin. Certainly that can happen. But I believe that God's grace for us is greater than our ability to remain faithful to Him. In the New Testament, in Mark chapter 9, there's a story about a father who brings his son to Jesus. And this child, you know, he's demon-possessed, and, you know, it seizes him, and it throws him down on the ground and starts foaming at the mouth. So he brings his child to Jesus, and as soon as the spirit sees Jesus, throws his child, and he's convulsing again and being totally held in bondage by the evil spirit. And Jesus says to the father, miracles. There is nothing that is impossible for those that believe. And this man, I don't know what his faith is like, but he's just a father who sees his son that is being thrown into convulsions by the Spirit. And he says to Jesus simply, Lord, help my unbelief. He didn't believe. He didn't have the great faith that Abraham had. But you know what? Jesus rebuked the spirit, and the boy was made well. Again, our expression of faith and hope may not be perfect before God, but that's okay. That's okay. God's grace is there for you. God's grace is there for us. Just because we may not perform perfectly as maybe we put ourselves into, or what others might say, oh no, you failed the test, and you're not going to get your promise. No, that's not how it works. That's how we work as human beings. You know, we test people, right? We test people. If you pass the test, then you get what you deserve, right? God was different. God gives us a promise, and He gives us the grace to believe in that promise, and that He makes it even happen without us being perfect in performance. This is who God is. God is different. God is different than us. You know, look at Abraham. Abraham was given a promise. You know, he suffered those 25 years wondering, you know, when is this going to happen? Is it going to be Ishmael? Is it going to be somebody else? Finally, he gets his promise, right? His promise is fulfilled. And God tests him to sacrifice Abraham when he's much older. So for us human beings, we think, oh, we test, and if you pass, then we get it. No, God promised, He gave, and then He tests. So the way God works and the way we work, sometimes it's very different. But what we have to hang on to is that He who promised is faithful and true. And He will do. He has the power to do all that He's promised. You know, as Christians, I believe that all of us have promises that we're given. And there is nothing, there is no promise as important and as great as Jesus dying on that cross and paying the price for our sins. Right? There is nothing greater. But I believe that God's promise to us is not only about the justification by faith and the salvation of our souls. There are personal promises that God gives to you. And I want to encourage you to look back at your life, if you don't know already, that God has been speaking to you promises after promises after promises. And sometimes the same promise over and over and over again, and you can't let it go. And sometimes you may think, man, am I going crazy? What is this? Nothing happens, but God's promise keeps coming. His word comes again. It comes this way, it comes this way, it comes in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day. And that is just to tell you that God hasn't forgotten his promises. God is giving you those to encourage you to know that the things, the words that he's spoken to you, they are true. They are going to come to pass. I want to encourage you to, when you have some time, go back and read chapters 12 through 21 and look at the life of Abraham and Sarah. And look at their journey. And sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's kind of like, oh my goodness, what is God doing? Is he just teasing us, giving us these promises that never come to pass? No. I want to encourage you. At the end, Abraham and Sarah got their promise. They received their promise. Isaac was born, amen? And I want to say to each and every one of you that your Isaac, that your promise is coming. It's coming. And I want you to have hope about the things that God has spoken to you personally. Not only you being saved, but the things that God has for you on this earth to impact the earth, the area where you're at, whether it be your workplace, whether it be relationships, whatever that might be, that God is going to fulfill his promises in your life. And hang on to that. And when things look the worst, when you feel like I'm just about dead, my body just can't do it anymore, hang on to his promises. Have hope that he who spoke to you, he who promised is faithful, and he will do it. He will make it, bring it to pass. You know, one of the things that I shared with my son recently, I'm a big sports fan. And there's a coach, he died many years ago. His name is Jim Valvano. How many of you know who Jim Valvano is? One, two people. Okay, great. Jim Valvano coached, he was a basketball coach for North Carolina State. Okay, NC State. And back, I believe it was in the 80s, they won a national championship. And they were just a kind of mediocre team. They just barely got into the tournament. And they just had this awesome run. And they ended up beating the big Houston, University of Houston Cougars, where Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler played. So these guys are amazing Hall of Fame players. Anyway, everybody thought that they're gonna win. But they ended up, Jim Valvano's North Carolina State team won. And about 10 years later, I believe it was in the 90s, he ended up having cancer. And he ended up dying of cancer. And if you know anything about ESPN, they have a thing, a foundation called the V Foundation. And it's after Jim Valvano. The V Foundation is about raising money and awareness for cancer research. And every year, around January-ish, they have this whole thing with the ESPYs, and then they have a whole thing where they raise funds for cancer research. And he had this huge, this really incredible speech one day, right before he was really sick. He died shortly after the speech. And in the speech, he says, you know, he's as a man with cancer, it's just ravaged his body. Okay? And he says, whatever happens to your life, whatever happens, he says, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You know, that word has kind of stuck with me for such a long time. Because in many ways it also symbolizes, is very similar to our life with Christ. You know, sometimes we struggle with things that don't make sense, and we know we have God's promises and they're not coming to pass. But I feel like God is saying, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Because I, who gave you that word, the God who gave you that promise, is faithful and true. He'll make it come to pass. He will do it. So don't ever give up. No matter what happens in your life, no matter what's going on, no matter what upheaval you're going through, don't give up. Don't ever give up, but have hope. Have hope in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our father Abraham and our mother Sarah. We thank you for their incredible faith and hope in you. Trusting when things just don't look right. Trusting and not giving up when things just don't make sense. But Father, we want to say, just as Abraham believed, we believe in you, Lord. We believe in your promises, not only for the age to come, but also the promises that you gave to us for this age, for this life. Father, we bless you that you're a good God, that you give to us only good things, that you have reserved for us great things because of who you are. And Father, I pray for all of us that you would grant us the grace and a greater measure of hope and trust and faith in you. Father, we know that you are good. And Jesus, your name is also faithful and true. Those aren't just characters. That's who you are. That's your name. So we pray that you would help us to align ourselves. And if any of us has any sort of doubt, I pray that you would help us in our unbelief. Grant us your grace to trust you and to trust you and to trust you again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Christ alone.
Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.